Hi, this is Andrew.
Hi, this is Wenchia. So, beautiful day today in Southern California. I want to talk about my experience last night at the MIT Better World Southern California Los Angeles conference. And it was great to begin with. Just energized and motivated, and it also saw lots of great people, heard wonderful things, and just reminded me how much I loved MIT.
So what was the conference about?
So the conference was about environment, energy, and sustainability. Mm-hmm. And the guest speakers that were there the PhD student in the Department of Earth, Atmospheric, and Planetary Sciences, Meghana Ranganathan. Okay, I'm probably pronouncing her name wrong.
So, in general, what happened?
Yes, and then a professor of engineering and nuclear science engineering and plasma science fusion center, and then the dean, my favorite speaker, the dean and professor of architecture and urban planning at the School of Architecture, which is where I went to for my architectural, training, and where also I learned the love of architecture and design. So lots of things they talked about, but because it was based around energy and sustainability and where the world today is, the biggest question, that we're faced with is, which we all know, is global warming. And because we have massive consumption of energy, we create lots of trash, have huge carbon footprints, and parts of the world are basically literally suffering. Here in California, we don't feel it as much because we're away from the extremities. Meghana talked about Greenland, or actually Iceland, and how whole cities are being basically flooded and gone from that. So this is kind of the negative part. And then for architecture, we talked about trash, and the nuclear scientist talked about creating, actually maybe you could explain this part better, but do you want me to explain it? Why you shaking your head?
I didn't go to the talk, so
I know, but I told you what it was. So this new, or I guess not new, a way to make energy that has become basically creating a fusion ball that replicates a star, like the sun, and something that you heat up this plasma in a state where it's as if it's in space, and it will radiate the amount of energy, like how the sun continues to radiate energy for however a billion years or something, or a million years. I don't know. How long do stars live for? But it's a source of energy that is plentiful once it's, this I'll call it generator or whatever is working. Then we could power whole cities with it. And so that was pretty exciting to me because from an architect's perspective, I don't, understand the physics of it or the chemistry behind it. But when he explained it, he was it's getting energy from the sun. And we're creating mini suns. So
there was some talk of advancement of using nuclear fusion.
Yes.
Exact same reaction that happens in the sun, and the benefit is that unlike nuclear fission, there isn't all this very dangerous radioactive waste.
Yes.
In fact, if you just use hydrogen as your fuel, then what comes out is helium. And, we can deal with that.
And
lots
safer.
Of balloons and parties. Right. So the byproduct is, not radioactive, basically.
Yes. And it's heat energy.
And we have lots of hydrogen lying around.
Yes.
So so it sounds like that although this idea has been around for a long time, and, we see the sun is pretty good at it, we've been having, up until recently, problems carrying out nuclear fusion here on Earth in a way where it's net positive energy, because it takes a lot of energy to get the fusion reaction right. going.
So they basically have to heat this plasma to be a million degrees or 100,000 degrees. Anyway, some super high temperature that is like the temperature of the sun. So you're replicating like a mini star, basically so hot that it's, you know, radiating off this heat, and it just peeps generally. Like once it's in that state, it's like a constant state of that heat, and then being able to capture that energy, and there's some other fluid that would be around it that captures the heat energy, and then that would be taken out, and then that would basically be converted into electricity, which is our biggest use. And anyways, the wonderful thing about him talking about this is that they're at MIT, you know, creating this lab or this like model of it where you could place one of these like, you know, fusion stars, I guess we'll call it, in like a small town and like generate enough electricity for the whole town. And it would be really useful for places like India and China, where their main source of energy is burning coal, which is one of the biggest pollutants, you know, to our earth. And then they wouldn't need to be burning coal. And then they would have this, once you have the infrastructure like of this up, then they would have basically free energy, and it would help them, you know, sustain their city without being harmful to our earth. Anyway, so that was very exciting. And also learning about kind of the advancements in that was just very exciting. And also learned about what the School of Architecture is doing and how they're trying to build like sustainable furniture and sustainable designs for multi-unit housing.
And the furniture bit was around packaging.
Yes. Yeah. So they have, you know, I haven't seen yet, but they have some stuff on their website, but it's about, you know, being able to create furniture pieces that is easy to connect and not have a lot of waste in like materials, and then also not a lot of waste in packaging and, you know, packing and putting it together. So I don't know if people know this, but the construction of homes or like buildings, homes and buildings is like one of the biggest like contributors to landfills and like trash and garbage that we create from it, like the byproduct of like building, basically building our infrastructure, our roads, our houses, or, you know, hospitals, any type of building like creates a lot of construction waste. So they're trying to reduce that level of waste
by starting to look at furniture and then maybe scaling up from there.
Yeah, well, furniture and also like residential homes and commercial homes.
Oh, so they talked about that as well.
Yes.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, so I think, well, the takeaway thing that he wanted us to take away from it was that, you know, we don't need to practice exactly the same way that we were taught. Like, we're always, he's like, you, once you're a student at MIT, you're always a student. You keep learning, you keep innovating, and you keep thinking of, you know, good solutions to help people solve their problems, and we're contributing to society in a positive way. Anyways, that part was very inspiring.
Cool.
And yeah, so, but I did want to talk about MIT being, you know, the pioneer of the open courseware. You know a little bit more about this than I do, because at first I thought it was just, if you're an alumni, you have access to all of the online courses or like all the information, the like videos of the lectures and the curriculum, but it's more than that, so you can
So if you just Google for MIT open courseware, then you'll find a bunch of resources where they have a catalog of classes where they've recorded video lectures, and then there's the syllabuses and you know, the problem sets and other materials that go along with the classes. So, you know, you can learn linear algebra or like some business class or whatever, and it's exactly the same material that the students at the school get when they're in class. So that's pretty cool, and they've been doing this for a while. There's a bunch of other institutions that make their material for free available as well. But if you go to this other site, I forget this if it's like it's EDX or EdX, and I don't know if it's edx.org or edu or whatever, but if you just Google for EDX, you'll find it. And there they've put together catalogs from a number of schools, including Harvard, UT Austin, you know, there's more schools on there that offer like full-length classes for free. And I guess sort of circling back to what Wenxia was saying about being a lifelong student and not having to do things the same way that you were initially taught, and instead being, you know, open to innovation with, you know, what you're doing at work or at home, that this is like a kind of a cool way to maybe get back into that student mindset and that mindset of innovation and, you know, just sort of questioning rules and getting back to fundamentals and trying things a new way. So hopefully, you know, you could use the resources that you find there to, you know, try something new that matters to you.
Yeah. Yeah. I think that was really inspiring. It made me feel like I was 20 again, or like 20 something. You know, I don't know if people think that, but like, when you're the age where you're like, you feel like you can learn anything and you could like try it and you'd be good at it. I mean, that's what I felt like when I was in my 20s, like going into the architectural world before, you know, being a little disheartened by like governmental zoning and rules and regulations and like people, you know, like the rules of life, the things that like stifle creativity and ingenuity. But it was nice to be surrounded by people that are, you know, excited and doing things that are making our world better. And definitely it was awesome to, I actually reconnected with some colleagues of mine that I haven't seen for more than 10 years. So that was nice. And just definitely felt awakened or alive and rekindled. And it kind of fell in this good time that we started this podcast and our whole mission to like share our experiences and our, you know, thoughts and interests with the community. So it felt like it was meant to be, I guess.
And I see that you have some notes that you took down from last night. Is there anything in your notes that you want to share in addition?
One thing which I've been, you know, very concerned about. First, we'll put the links on all the projects and the people that were talking last night, so people can see that on my website. But the fusion energy, it's actually it's called Spark, SPARC. That's the company that did kind of spun off from it. But one of the things I found was very like eye-opening was that, you know, our trying to solve our problem of global warming and trash and all this, the sustainability, it's not a like one solution, they said. They all said this is, you know, a multi-field problem, and we need contributors from like all like engineers, scientists, and you know, like it's also political, and so it's like there's a cultural aspect and a societal aspect, and so it's not like, oh, we make this one machine and it's gonna save the world, right? Somebody brought up, oh, isn't there like some kind of carbon capturing device somebody invented that's supposed to like, you know, suck the carbon? But anyways, that's not
they're called trees.
Yes, they're called trees. Well, that's what I was thinking when they said that, but like, I guess somebody invented some machine that like pulls the air in it. Anyways, so that's interesting, except that, you know, that uses tremendous amounts of energy to do something. So then you're like basically it's not offsetting the carbon that you're pulling out of the atmosphere because you're using up electricity to do this. Okay, so anyway, but the biggest thing was They said, we need to unite, you know, our multiple disciplines across the board and to do what's good for the earth. There was a great quote I should have wrote down, but that was like an Indian quote about we don't inherit the earth. Do you know this quote? Well, I'll have to look it up. But you don't inherit the earth from your ancestors. We are borrowing the earth from our children.
Mm-hmm.
Because we want to leave, you know, a place, a sustainable place for them to live, you know, for whatever, thousands of years to come. And one of the biggest things that actually also I'm starting to see better is that we need as people to change the way, you know, that the way that we live. Like even the small things like just composting or we'll do a brief talk about the recycling thing. But that our lifestyle right now that's very wasteful and we're used to the comfort of this, you know, very wasteful lifestyle is not sustainable. So, and it's becomes a cultural and social thing that like once everybody does it, we were talking about, okay, you know, people used to always have milk delivered by the milkman and that was like, that's how things were done. But now everybody uses these throwaway cups and it's like, that's wasn't the way it was, you know, a long time ago, or even like restaurants, you know, they could just stop using, like if you're sitting in a restaurant and eating, you don't need to have disposable forks and things like that. So anyway, so it's again changing our way of life and making adjustments that is going to, you know, make a difference with the whole world altogether. So we will continue to learn, to research, teach, and practice. That was the other motto that was said. Do you want to talk about the recycling issue? I want to save that for another time.
Let's talk about that.
Yeah.
Let's next just time.
Next time?
Yeah.
Oh, you said it like, let's talk about that. Like, we're going to do. Okay. We will talk about the whole recycling issue and what's happening with the environment. We'll have to do another day on that. So keep learning and doing things that bring you joy, as that other lady would say, and feel good about what we're passing on to our children.
Great.
Okay. Thanks for listening, guys.
Thanks. Bye.
Bye.